Christ. It is May 31st, 2026, and hard to believe that we're halfway through the calendar year of 2026. A lot of things have happened, and here we are. The message by Pastor Peters was Bible relationships, and I don't know, it was one, a new one that I hadn't played here before, so wanted to play it. And I remember talking with Pastor Peters, and he said, well, he would have been a lot more popular preacher if he didn't give, didn't talk about what the Bible said about relationships or tithing or how people need to raise their children. And he said those were the three topics that always made people very upset with him. And I remember talking to him about this message in particular, and boy, he said a lot of people got upset with him over it, but it was something that needed to be preached. And so I thought it was something that, it was a good one. There's a lot of good truths in there, and I'm still very thankful that these messages are preserved. And I want to say thank you for those out there that are joining us through internet and through DVD Church. Had several people that we've added on to the DVD Church list lately. So new viewers, so that's good. We do appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and start off with a song. This one is Come Thou Fount.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast brought me to this place, and I know Thy hand will bring me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue danger, bought me with His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above. Oh, that day when, free from sinning, I shall see Thy love. holy face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign praise. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thy angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Send thy angels now to carry me to realms of endless day.
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We pray that you be with these messages wherever they may go. And Lord, we just, as we see you doing a mighty work across this land, we thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing. And we thank you, Father, for the awakening that's taken place. Lord, we just continue to call upon you to do a mighty work, Lord. We pray, Father, for the enemies, our enemies, your enemies. Lord, we know that they're making an uproar against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. And Lord, we pray that the pit that they dig for us, that they fall into it. And the snare that they set for us, that they become entangled in it. You know in each and every one of them, Lord. And we pray, Father, for you to expose them and to bring their evil, wicked deeds to light. We know that there's been many deeds done in darkness, evil, wicked deeds, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you continue to expose them and expose the corruption, Lord. We pray, let them be caught in their plots, Lord Jesus. We call upon you to continue to do it. We pray and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, across this land from sea to shining sea. Lord, we pray for God-fearing men and women and children of God to be brought back up, Lord. We pray and pray against these terrors that are in our land and in our midst, Lord. We pray that they be bound, bundled, and cast to your feet to be sent on to where you see fit, Lord. We know that there's a lot of things going on in Washington, and Lord, we just lift it up. I don't understand the ins and outs of all of it, but I know that you do. And I lift it up to you in a basket, and I pray, Father, that you look down upon it and that you be the judge. We know that you are the one true judge, and we call upon you to judge what is happening and what has taken place and do the exposing that needs to be done. Lord, we call upon you to do it in a mighty way. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here, to be here at our church, Lord. We pray that you bless these services wherever they may go. We pray that you be with each DVD that goes out from here and each newsletter that comes out off of the printing presses, Lord. I pray that you guide and direct these broadcasts and that these time capsules of messages that have been preserved, I pray that you just bring them to who needs to hear them. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, as way of announcements, a lot of stuff been going on. We did finish the Dragon Slayer newsletter yesterday. Was able to get it done, and we are going to be dropping it in the mail tomorrow. So, like I've been saying for a while, do appreciate it if you let me know when you do receive it. Drop me an email or something. And if you don't receive it within by the end of the week or first part of next week, be sure and let me know, and I'll get another one mailed out to you. They don't call it snail mail for no reason at all. It's definitely... It's sometimes slower than that, but we've been working with the post office, and they've been really trying to help us out quite a bit. They want to get our stuff out to people as fast as possible, and it just helps us with sorting and different stuff, and there's a lot of stuff. They're changing it left and right, and it's basically a full-time job just to keep up with all the new mailing regulations and stuff that that you have to do, all the paperwork that goes along with it. It keeps a guy busy, but excited about it, and I think it's a good newsletter. I think it was blessed. We got a couple books. Justice, we'll have that. Here's a couple books that I put on sale. It's books that we've had for a while, But I've had a lot of requests for him, and we've been sending actually a lot of stuff into the prisons lately. Prison laws have changed, and we're able to get bigger books into the prisons that we haven't been able to before. And these are three books that books that was looking at this week. We had the Passover, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy, fantastic book. And I believe everybody should have that on their shelf. And all these books, I put them on sale for $8. If you don't have them, I encourage you to get them. And if you can't afford them and you're going to read them, just let me know, send me a note, and I'll make sure that they get sent to you. We'll send them to you if you'll read them, request them, and I'll make sure that they get sent. I also had a lot of requests. We'll go to the next slide, Justice. We've had a lot of requests for us to get back, and people that have wanted the supplements. So there it is. We've got them, we'll be shipping those out next week. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but check out the newsletter and see what we've got. Really good quality products. Working with a very good company that has got good reviews and good products. There's a lot of junk that's on the market, and our products might not be the cheapest, but they are good quality, and that's what we strive to have. And also coming up, we're just a few days away from June 8th, USS Liberty Day. Do encourage, in the Dragon Slayer newsletter, wrote a short article on the USS Liberty. It's one of those things that hasn't been, it's actually been talked about quite a bit here lately, and I'm encouraged by that. Phil Turney's doing a fantastic job. He's been speaking all over the place on what happened and exposing people to what these dirty Jews tried to do to them on June 8th, 1967. And I interviewed Phil Turney last June, and I'm trying to get another interview set up. I know he's got a lot of stuff going on, trying to get another one set up, and hopefully me and Will will be able to get an interview with Phil on that. Try to always play those broadcasts on June 8th, and I got a couple from that Pastor Peters did when back years ago. And I was encouraged when talking with Phil on the subject. He said that this LaPorte Church of Christ was the first church that he had been able to speak at. He said he'd spoke several different places, but he said that they never would allow him into a church building to speak. And LaPorte Church of Christ, here at this pulpit, was the first time that he ever spoke on the Liberty in a church. And I thought that was pretty neat. He had a lot of respect for Pastor Peters back in the day when he was privileged to be here. And he's spoken at several churches since then, but this was the first. I thought that was pretty cool. We got a message by Brother Zach. I guess I got time to talk a little bit more. He did want me to tell you we had phone problems like crazy yesterday. We were trying to get a connection, and it was just horrible. I tried to clean it up as best as I can. He apologized, and I apologize for it. But I want to talk a little bit about Faith, Hope, and Love. We've got an article that I wrote for the Dragon Slayer newsletter, and I titled it Armed and Dangerous with Faith, Hope, and Love. And I want to start off with Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, the substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This woe pronounced by the prophet Isaiah now rests heavenly upon our land. Nowhere is this inversion of truth more obvious than in the modern attitude towards survival. Today's Antichrist propaganda machine has successfully labeled anyone who prepares to survive difficult times as evil, hateful, or extremist. Yet refusing to be a survivalist is actually unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has both called us and shown us how to be overcomers. An overcomer must first be a survivalist, and then far more. Survival is the continuation of life despite overwhelming odds and hostile conditions. From the moment you were born, your mother wanted you to survive. Your father taught you practical survival skills for business, sports, or everyday life. Above all, your heavenly Father desires that you not only survive, but overcome victoriously. Only a wicked, hate-filled enemy would oppose your survival in any conflict. The side more determined to survive holds the advantage. Our Antichrist adversaries understand this perfectly, which is why they have worked so diligently to portray biblical survival and preparedness as something evil. To survive and overcome, you must be armed with three Christian virtues. The Apostle Paul clearly identified these three virtues in 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. Hope is the fuel of survival and overcoming. Hope is essential for survival and overcoming. Our enemy knows this and therefore wages a relentless propaganda war, knowing the pen is mightier than the sword, precisely to rob God's people of hope. Much of this attack comes disguised as Patriot Radio or alternative media, and recently it functions as nothing more than fear radio. Instead of proclaiming the gospel, which literally means good news, listeners are bombarded with constant messages of impending economic Armageddon, biological holocaust, UN invasions, concentration camps, black helicopters, famine, and vast unstoppable conspiracies. All of this is wrapped in the language of fighting evil and defending freedom, but its true fruit is hopelessness. Scripture warns us plainly, the fear of man brings a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be protected. Proverbs 29:25. You will know false prophets and false prophets by their fruit. Matthew 7:16. The constant output of doom and gloom messaging produces only despair. This is not to deny the real dangers exist. Plagues, wars, pestilence, economic hardship, and wicked schemes by powerful men have always been part of a fallen world. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Wicked men in high places do plot against God's people, but it is a lie that we have no hope. The wicked are the ones without hope, or else God is a liar. God's word repeatedly commands his people, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Psalms 37:7-9. When the people lose hope, they lose courage. Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who hope in the Lord. Psalms 31:24. Jesus Christ himself is our living hope. Robbing us of hope damages our relationship with him. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. Hebrews 3:6 in ASB. Well, it looks like that's about what I've got time for. And I listened to a message that Brother Paul did years ago at on hope and where is the joy? And It really encouraged me, and that's what I've seen a lot of people. It's I've talked to people, and people have called, and I'm thankful that people call, and you know, that's what that's phone lines are open, and if you'd like to call, well, we'd like to hear from you, and I do appreciate it. But I've noticed that there's people out there that are just they're scared, and they're fretting over the evildoers and the evils that are coming in our land, and the enemy has been very successful of robbing people of their hope. And we try to talk about a lot of different subjects. And Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers is a program we have on Saturday mornings. Got a lot of people that join us for it. And we talk about a lot of different stuff that's going on in the world. And, you know, we always try to leave it with a positive ending. We want people to be aware of the things that are going on and what's taking place, but we always try to, you know, promote hope and say that, you know, our Heavenly Father's in charge, and he's got this, and we're trying to do our part. If you don't know what's going on, you can't pray against it, you can't fight against it, you can't educate people. And I've seen just a lot of people, and it's like they've lost their hope, and it's doom and gloom, and you know, people that have called up and said, "Hey, we're doomed. There's nothing that we can do. It's, you know, we're all going to die." And I don't believe that at all. And you know, I'm going to continue to fight the best that we can. And I just want people to have that hope. We have hope. We need to have it. We need to cultivate that hope that that we have. We've got the promises. We've got God on our side. And, you know, just keep thinking about, you know, if he is for us, who can be against us? And that's what I had to have time for this morning. We're going to go ahead and have Brother Zach. His message was, "Don't let your love grow cold." And again, I do apologize about the recording. He was distracted because of the echoes and stuff. We'll get it figured out. He was in a bad service area, but we're able to get it. He's been working on a message for the last week, so we'll go ahead and have that, Justice.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, May 31st, 2026, we here at the La Porte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. And I got to tell you, it's quite difficult to believe that it's already almost June. I might even be wrong on my dates. I'm sorry, I could be wrong, but it's almost June. Half our year is gone already. It just doesn't even seem possible. It's just blowing by. I hope all of you out there are having a great year, a prosperous year. I hope all of you are doing well, and I hope that my time with you helps you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You sit there and you think about it, what we do here most every Sunday morning is we study the Word. And yes, I am allowed the privilege to be kind of a narrator. And I want all of you out there to know that my best. And sometimes I don't know. That your opinion is your opinion, and you're entitled to it. But I just want you to know that I truly hope that the time that we spend together, that you glean little nuggets of insight, truth, little adjustments in your outlook on life, so that way you can have a daily walk with our Lord and be prosperous, be pleasing in his sight, be accepted at the end, and most importantly, that we are good representatives of our Lord and Savior. When you guys go out there, whatever you may do for a living, whether you're a business owner, an employee, everything that you put your hand to do is blessed, because it pleases our Lord. Trustworthy, honest. Yes is yes, and your no is no. I hope that you take responsibility for your actions every single day, make the adjustments, excuse me, do your self-examinations, and, you know, look at your own life, see what's right, what's wrong. You know, sometimes we have things wrong in our life that we're not even aware of, you know, and it takes somebody to say something. And, well, wait a minute, well, this is not how I viewed this type of this situation, or, you know, maybe I react wrong to certain things. But we have to know that we are representatives of our Lord and Savior. We are sons of the living God. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We represent Him. You know, when somebody looks at us and they deal with us, we need it to be a proper interaction. Any deal that we get into, it needs to be a deal that's good for all parties, fair. You know, we have to worry about those that are not in the body because we're representatives of Jesus Christ. Not take advantage of them, not, you know, just having a good moral compass. You know, every day when I put my boots on the ground and I put my feet in them and I get up and I walk out the door of my house, you know, I like to know that the jobs that I do, that I've sold and this and that, that people give value in what I've done for them, and that they're happy that I was there, and that they're happy to cut me my check, and that I did a good job, that they word of mouth advertised for me. I want them to feel good about what we did together, you know. And I hope all you out there feel the same way. Now, there's others out there that don't give a rip and only think about themselves. That's not a good place to be. You know, if you're just thinking about yourself and your own survival, chances are you're going to be a pretty miserable individual. But I'm done with my rant right there. You got your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to define who Jesus Christ is, and that's John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I was coming up here to my little cabin to do the sermon, I was thinking about what I was going to talk about. And I just threw some stuff together. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about love. In the Bible, it talks about having the love of the truth. And many of us out there in this circle have a love for the truth, like Pastor Peters always used to say. Just give it to me straight. I just want to know the truth, and that's it. And I hope that's why you're here, because I try to give it to you as straight as I can. You listen to all those old sermons that Pastor Peters used to, that he would record. He just gives it to you to the best of his ability, and I learned much from that man. He's a great mentor of mine. We're going to listen to about love. And you can't have love without hate. You just can't. And you can't let your love go cold. And you got to know what to love and what not to love. You have to love the Word. You have to really hate everything else. Everything else is your enemy. If it doesn't line up with the Word, if it doesn't jive with the Word, then that's things that we need to push away and not accept into our lives. Matthew chapter 24. Let me get my reading glasses on here. It's disgusting. Put these on here, like, oh my gosh, that's what it was. I got to tell you, sir, I think I told you this the other day. I was sitting there, I was trying to tie a fish hook with a fishing line, and my buddy gave me a pair of reading glasses because he just couldn't stand watching me anymore. So now when I read to you guys, I got reading glasses on, and it's just like, that's the way it used to be. But anyways, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said, do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For men learn about wars and rumors of wars for hundreds of years since Jesus walked on this earth. And there's many things been taking place, but things are a little bit different now compared to, you know, 200 years ago. You know, we've had two world wars. That is end times thing, because the result of those two world wars has led into a global economy. Now, there's always been a global economy, but more of a one world government. It's the Babylonian system taking a last-ditch effort onto the grip of this world to get everybody submit to the, you know, the system. That's, like, the difference, in my opinion. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and will kill you, and will hate, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Well, if you're one of those truth speakers, and you start talking about the multitude of nations, and saying that Jesus Christ was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, let me tell you, you will be hated. Now, even nowadays, even the Judeo-Christians they're starting to get guff for the name of Jesus Christ, but you and I both know it's a fake Jesus. Let me read that again. And they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. This could be a physical death, or it could just be a you need to be quiet death. What is the word? That's Jesus. In the beginning was the word. They don't want you and I speaking the word, because as Jesus said, the word is, well, let me back up. He said, take my yoke, for it's light. You have an option, a heavier yoke, the Babylonian yoke, higher taxes. A yoke is a representation, the yoke that Jesus is talking about is his political system. If you are shut up, you are killed. If you shrink back, you are ineffective. You're not a soldier of Christ. You're not doing the mission. That means you're not on the team. Stop right there. I'm going to run, because there's a couple of guys that recently retired from the department, and I still talk to them. They're my age. They're pushing 50. One's 50-something. I'm almost 50, but they're offended and they're hurt, because none of the guys take time to talk to them. And, well, both of those guys are in the service now that I think about it. But the thing of it is, they're not there anymore. They're not doing the job. But the job still needs to be done. If they're not doing it, they're not a part of it, they become irrelevant. Yeah, everybody remembers them, but the mission keeps going. The train keeps going. They're not involved. They're not involved with the mission, so therefore, there's really nothing to talk about. If you and I, as Christians aren't involved in the mission, you're ineffective. You no longer exist for the team. You no longer exist to accomplish the mission. You've essentially been, you just taken out. Is that a physical death? No. You're just irrelevant. If you're not actively working towards the mission, you're done. That's simple. The mission doesn't care whether you're there or not. It has one thing, one goal, is to accomplish the mission. This ministry's goal is to help usher the kingdom of heaven, to help usher in Jesus Christ's political system. So if you shrink back and you're afraid and you're unwilling to do the work, you're ineffective. I'm ineffective. If I don't keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing and called and asked to do what I'm asked to do, then I'm out. It's just the way it is. The mission doesn't have any feelings. The law of God has no feelings. What you think is irrelevant. You had your time? Did you use it wisely? Pastor Peter's used his time to the very end. He's gone. The mission keeps going. With him or without him. It's going to keep going. It's our job to train people to keep the mission going. To not be killed. To not be ineffective. Hate one and hate one another. So there are those that are in the know, and will fall away. Just like what I was talking about there. Out of the game, fall away. No, no, hating, no, no. People taking stuff from personal. Verse 11, many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Why do these false prophets, why are they able to arise? Because the teaching, the leaven got into the teaching, and now we're dealing with a couple hundred years of bad teaching of who's who, not paying attention to the prophets. That's how they're misled. If you think about it, it's the actual body's fault. Verse 12, because lawlessness increased, most people's love will grow cold. What is the catalyst of people's love growing cold? It's because lawlessness is increased. Lawlessness is taken out of the gospel. Right and wrong is blurred. That's why. When you have lawlessness and you're not obeying the two top commandments that Jesus gave us, love the Lord with all your heart, might, and soul. Who's the Lord? The Word. And love your neighbor as yourself, which is, you know, I was talking with Jason before we started recording. And we were talking about this because I had a couple of situations I was in this week where I was just really, really disappointed in how people reacted to things. And one of the things that Jason said is, like, people don't put the other party in the shoes. Like, neither one of the parties of the situation I was in, just like everybody's gunning for Jesus. I mean, think about it. So lawlessness has increased. They take the law away. They take the love away. If you, you know, there's a psalm in there that says, you know, how much whoever wrote that, whether it was David or some priest or whatever, how he loves the law because it keeps the path straight, you know. Everybody's gunning for Jesus. They want the real Jesus gone, which is his law, gone, done away with. And we see here that lawlessness is increased. Therefore, it makes people's love grow cold, and they don't even love the real Jesus. They think they do, but they don't. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So what do we have to preach? I mean, let's just sit there and think about it a little bit. What do we have to preach? We have to preach that Jesus's political system has been removed. When we get that accomplished, then the end will come. What's the end? A new age is entered in, just like Jesus said. Pastor Peters used to do sermons about that all the time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. I begin by reading in verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves. So let's just take a second and just examine this. So we just read about Jesus talking about people's being cold because of if lawlessness is increased, then what is taking place? His word being removed. Jesus here, walking into the temple, and what does he do? Just imagine this. He scans the room. I mean, I wasn't there. The room or the court, and he sees all these guys buying and selling. I'm assuming he's on the Sabbath. It doesn't say it right here. Sees people, you know, selling doves, money changers. And he goes in there and he tears the place up. And he turns over all the tables and runs them out. I begin my reading in verse 13. And he says to them, it is written, in my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Just like we've said so many times before, church is a business. It, you know, churches nowadays is a big business. It pays handsomely to tickle people's ears. It's a house of prayer. What are you praying for? You're praying for people to repent. You're praying for nations to repent. You're praying for the Lord's Prayer, that the Lord's will be done. What's the Lord's will? His word. And he's like, these people are turning my place into a place of profit. It made him mad because their focus was in, you know, they're more worried about themselves. They had no love for their neighbors. They're about talking about, you know, they wanted to make a dime. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he had done, and the children who were shouting at the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to them, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. So what were these guys? They were jealous. Well, probably Edomites. They were jealous, and they didn't like, they thought that everything was being taken out of order when Jesus was actually putting it in order, realigning the minds, actually doing the work that Jesus, that God wanted them to do, healing the sick, making the lame walk, giving sight to the blind, doing good, being more concerned for the people and their well-being. I mean, think about it. What were these scribes and these money changers and these people that were selling livestock, doves, what were they doing? They were breaking the second commandment. They were just worried about themselves, funding their 401k, funding their Roth, not caring about their neighbor, not putting themselves in their neighbor's shoes. That's what they were doing. What was Jesus here for? Jesus came here to serve and release Israel from the law. That way she could be baptized and be rejoined to him to help them, to heal her. So that way they could go to the whole world and all the nations and preach the gospel and realign the world politically, save the world, ensure the future generations for a prosperous, fair life. And these guys got jealous. Verse 17. And he left them and went to the city of Bethany and spent the night there. Hearts were wrong. And Jesus called them out on it. And they didn't like it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Verse 15. We're going to read Mark's point of view on this story. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables and the money change of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling. And he would not permit anyone to carry any merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. What was Jesus doing? He was pointing out that they were teaching the everyday citizen the way, was not pointing them to eternal life. They were just looking what they could get right now. They had no long game. Well, maybe they did for their father, the devil. I don't know what was going through their minds. But, you know, I'm one of the type of guys to where I genuinely want good things for everybody. Because I know if I'm doing wrong, it affects my neighbor. If they're doing wrong, it affects me. And then nothing gets solved. You know, Jesus was a problem solver. Like, you sit there and you think about it. As a man, as a husband, when I go to work, when I talk to my wife, whatever I do, when my job is to solve problems, that's what I do. I don't cause problems. Sometimes I might screw up and really, really tear something up and cause a problem. It was tension, but I fixed it. You and I, as Israelites, are called to be problem solvers. Jesus is a problem solver. And he was pointing out their problem because of their greed, self-centeredness, selfishness, not caring for everyone else around them, not solving anybody's problems by proper teaching. So that way, you know, they could, you know, have a prosperous community, nation. They don't think in those terms like God did. You know, when he set up the law with Moses, it was set up so that way the entire nation could be prosperous. And any other nation that decided to submit themselves to that law prosperous too. Verse 18, the chief priests and scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy them, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And Peter, and being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you have cursed as withered. The day before, Jesus cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. But we see here, the chief priests and scribes heard this and they began seeking how to destroy them. What was their motivation? What was their thought process? My income is threatened, is what they thought. They thought that they're, you know, they were threatened on every single level because they would be out of a job. They would be out of everything. So what did they want to do? They want to destroy him. Their lawlessness was increased and abounded. And they had no love and they were cold because they owned himself. Complete 180 of what Jesus was. So, what are we to be as Christian men and women, soldiers? We're supposed to be looking out for other people. We're supposed to be reaching out and teaching them, preaching the gospel across the whole world. So that way they can make the proper changes in their life, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And then we can put all these Judeo-Christian preachers out of business, overthrow corrupt governments. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our job. That's our mission. And if we're not actively working towards that, the mission doesn't care. It's going to keep going. Someone's going to take the mantle or the baton and keep moving. But while I'm here and while Jason's, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep teaching. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep, you know, trying to guide people into having that love for the neighbor. Just as Jesus has that love for us. We don't want our love to grow cold. We want your love to grow cold. And look at that. I'm almost out of time. In fact, I'm going to end right there. So, let's not let our love grow cold. Let's do everything that we can to usher in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and preach to the world that, so that way the end can come and Jesus Christ's kingdom can be ushered in. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. And again, wanted to apologize, both me and Zach did, for the quality of that recording, but wanted to play it anyway. Go to communion. I want to start out by reading in Psalms 50, starting in verse 1. The mighty one God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfume God has shown forth, may our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and it is very temperous around him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge his people. Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a with me by sacrifice, and the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am the God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices and your burnt offering continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, for the world is mine and all it contains, shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink of the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me, and in the day of trouble I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For if you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you, when you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sin against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne to renew that covenant with us, Father, we drink of the blood, Lord, and we remember the price that was paid to give us access to your throne, to be called by your people, to be called your people, Lord. We're thankful that we are your people. Let our love not grow cold, Lord. We partake and eat of the body. Lord, that you renew our love for you, your kingdom, your ways, Lord. We want to do things your way, not our way. We pray, Father, that as we eat, that you purify our hearts, our minds, and that you just give us that renewal, strength, energy, health, vitality that we can receive from you. I pray, Father, I know that there are many that join us that are out there that are infirmed from different infirmities, from thyroid issue, heart disease. Lord, we've got a lot of people that are out there that are hurting. And we pray that as we partake of this today, that you heal and that you grant that healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into their bodies and for them their afflictions. Because they partake of communion, we pray, Father, that you make this into the perfect medicine for each and one, every one of your children out there. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may partake. And again, we thank you for being here. We're going to have a message, a timeless message by Pastor Peters. This one was August of 1991.